Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next 60 minutes as we discuss week four in the league where no contract is guaranteed. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on at twitter.com/WilliamGerald or hit up at blogtalkradio/CyrilQuinn. This is tonight's poll question of the evening is, which 2-2 team is in the most trouble? Steelers, the Cowboys, New York Jets. Your audience, certainly you can chime in as well on the chat line and also contact me there as well. But as always, we begin, and also one quick announcement, we are doing a simulcast, so not only are we broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio, we're also broadcasting on Cinch.fm, so you can find, you can certainly hit me up. You can find the broadcast as soon as it's over with on that particular website. I'll post it on my Facebook page. But we begin with the game of the week down in Jerry's world. Big D, Cowboys Stadium, the Dallas Cowboys fall to 2-2 as they blow a 27-3 lead. Second half lead to the Detroit Lions, who now improved to a league best, along with the Green Bay Packers 4-0. And listen, you know, I can sit up here and I'll give the Lions all the credit in the world. You have to. You're down 27-3. How many teams pack it in and just say, you know what, we'll see you next week? I give Detroit all the credit for fighting. They made some plays, made plays when they had to be made. Calvin Johnson was great. Stafford did not have one of his best days, but did not have a big turnover that would cost Detroit. But to me, this is all about the Dallas collapse. I mean, you're up 27-3, and you throw three in this Tony Romo, two of them for pick sixes. I mean, you can't. That's, you know, that's Christmas in October. I mean, you can't gift wrap a game anymore. What the Dallas Cowboys did last night, I mean, yesterday afternoon. And to me, you know, you have two GOATs in this game. Number one, Tony Romo. Number two, Jason Garrett. The Cowboys, despite the fact that they were up 27-3 in the third quarter, they throw the ball 47 times and run the ball 27 times, which is there's no logic to it whatsoever. Zero. When you get a lead, you run the ball to shorten the game and run out the clock. It's just that simple, especially when you have a lead of three scores. I mean, up point, again, 24 points is the largest, is the biggest collapse in Cowboys history as far as the season goes. They have never blown a lead that big, ever. in all the 50 years the Cowboys have been around. So yeah, it's hard to blow that kind of lead in your home stadium. Again, give Detroit credit for picking up the pieces and for not quitting. But this says a lot about what the Dallas Cowboys are not. Dallas is going to be – they're going to be 8-8, 7-9 team. They're going to be Jekyll Hyde week in, week out. 1 week we're going to be saying the worst thing ever. Next week we're going to be saying, hey, they're pretty good. That's what they're going to be. That is absolutely what they're going to be throughout the course of this season. And Dallas actually played – I thought they defensively actually did a pretty good job in Detroit. Held Detroit to 300 yards of total offense. Again, Stafford wasn't spectacular. He had 21 of 43, 240, a touchdown, a couple of touchdowns, an interception. They really basically shut down Detroit's running game, which right now is really not is non-existent. Calvin Johnson. I mean, Calvin Johnson, he gets 8 for 96 and 2 touchdowns on everybody. So I mean that it is what it is with him. But again, all about the Cowboys and all about what they did not do. I mean, Cowboys put up these, gaudy numbers as usual, 434 yards total offense. Romo, 34, 47, 331, 3 touchdowns. Again, of course, but the 3 picks were absolutely the key to a down to the Detroit victory. Again, at some point, you as a coach, there's a time, believe it or not, to be conservative. It really is. I mean, when you're up 20, you're in the second half, you're up more than 21 points, by more than 3 scores, that's the time where you just, you could take the air out of the ball. I mean, seriously. It's an absolute time to take the air out of the ball. So, again, I thought the reaction from Cowboy fans was, from people in general, the media was way over the top. After they beat the Redskins, after they beat the 49ers. And the Redskins and 49ers, mind you, are 6-2 combined, and both are in first place. I understand that. But those two victories, it seems like people were ready to say that Tony Romo had turned this corner. I'm like, okay, he had 2 pretty good games. Let's calm down here. Let's calm down. Let's see him be great in a playoff game. Let's see him go out there and get to an AFC championship. A couple of regular season wins are not going to change my mind that Tony Romo all of a sudden, is the second coming. But the flip side again, Detroit Lions 4-0. Detroit second straight that they rallied from a 2-point deficit in the second half. Give them credit. One thing if you're Detroit, and this might be nitpicking, but they need to establish a running game. To me right now, if you're defending Detroit, the thing to do is, key in on Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford. They seem to have, other than, Stafford and Johnson, it's great. It's a great combination, but you gotta have some other options. You have to be able to run the ball to where teams respect it, okay? As Mike did, just hit a home run to give the Texas 2-1 lead over Tampa Bay. That just happened just a second ago. But, I would like to see Detroit, really try to establish more of a running game. But, listen, it's nitpicking. Detroit's been great this year. Again, give them all the credit. Shorts, give them credit for keeping that team, together. Whatever halftime adjustments Detroit is making, it's working. Because they have been just flat-out dominant in the second half of these games. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the NFL Show. On this 3rd of October, 2011, 9 minutes after the 7 o'clock, this is Cyril Quinn. When we return, Cam, a shootout in Chi-Town, and the Packers ball rolling. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. Welcome back to this latest edition of the NFL Show, Cyril Quinn. As we discuss Week 4, the quarter pole of the NFL season, so you know you're hoping that if your team could go, you know, 2-2, 3-1, you know, you'd be in pretty good shape. 0-4, you're finished. 1-3 is not very good. There's a team out there that is 1-3, and we'll certainly get to that particular team over the course of the show. That team, of course, had some high expectations before the season started, but things have not, you know, have not played out well for them. But we have plenty of time to get to that over the course of the program. Carolina falls to Chicago, 34-29. The Bears improved to 2-2 on the season. The Panthers dropped 1-3 on the season. This was all about Matt Forte. Forte had a career day, 25 carries, 205 yards, a touchdown. They, Mike Marks finally saw the light. I mean, what can you say? 25, you know, they run the ball with Forte, throw the ball 17 times with Cutler. Cutler goes 9-17, 102 yards, and an interception. Bears also got, you know, a touchdown return from DJ Moore and a punt return for a touchdown from Devin Hester. Why Carolina ever kicked to Devin Hester is just beyond me. And the guy is one of the great punt kickoff return men in the history of the sport. So that absolutely made no sense. Carolina absolutely dominated this game for the line of scrimmage, though, as far as, I mean, they outgained Chicago 543-317. Cam Newton had a huge day. I thought he would have a bounce-back day, going 27-46, 374, touchdown and interception. Big day out of Steve Smith, 8 for 181. But, again, turnovers, four special team, get in the Panthers. And, again, Matt Forte, you know, sometimes when you run the ball, good things can happen. I mean, I don't know if this is going to be a pattern for Mike Marks as far as giving Forte 20 to 25 carries, but it needs to be a steady diet of Matt Forte, some way, shape, or form. I mean, you got to find this guy is one of the most dynamic backs in the league. I mean, he's probably the most versatile back in the league, to be honest with you, as far as pass catching and running. I know McCoy and McFadden are great as well, but this guy is an every down back, does it all. They got to give him the ball, and they also got to give him a new contract. I mean, what, you know, what are they waiting for from that standpoint? You cannot let this guy. You can let this guy go. I understand running backs are easier to replace now more than ever, but that kind of play, you have that kind of player in your stable, you got to keep. So we'll see what happens with that, with the Bears. But again, good bounce back win for Chicago, coming off that smacking by at the hands of the Green Bay Packers. Get a good win at home, even your record at 2-2, and keep pace with the Packers and also Detroit Lions. Chicago has a big game next week at Detroit on Monday Night Football. Green Bay destroys Denver 46-23. Green Bay improves to 4-0. Denver falls to 1-3. This game was all about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers accounts for 6 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns throwing, 29-38, 408 yards. And of course, 2 rushing touchdowns, and certainly was the fantasy player of the week without question. You never thought that Green Bay was ever in any danger in this game. Green Bay jumped out on top of Denver. Denver had no answer. Obviously, Denver had no answer for Green Bay's offense. You know, Denver racked up some yards. Orton racked up some yards. Orton, you know, had 3 interceptions along with 3 touchdowns. But this was all about Green Bay's offense. Green Bay over 507 yards of total offense. Green Bay, a number of teams this week had over 500 yards of offense. Green Bay certainly was one of them. I don't know how you defend Green Bay, to be honest with you. I really don't. I mean, they legitimately go 6 deep with their receivers. I mean, they had Jennings, Jordy Nelson, James Jones. You know, they had the rookie Randall Cobb, who's passed Donald Driver. I mean, I don't know how there's no team with enough secondary people to defend those guys. If you don't have a pass rush, you have no chance against Green Bay. you have no chance against them without a pass rush. Yeah, I mean, that's the only way you get in. That's the only way that you can combat Aaron Rodgers. That's what's going to make that Detroit-Green Bay Thanksgiving game that much more intriguing. And with that being said, through the air attack and what Aaron Rodgers does, Green Bay still runs the football. They have in a game where they're probably throwing the ball every down if they wanted to, they ran the ball, 28 times for 111 yards. So that to me what separates them from anybody else, besides the fact that they have the best player in the sport right now. Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, the best player in the sport. Green Bay, keeps the defense honest with their running game. And, in a game where they easily, maybe they took it easy on Denver. Maybe they could have put 60 points had they not run the ball as much as they did. But they, keep it balanced, chewed up some clock, and were able to run away with this game. This game was never in doubt. Charles Woodson had a pick six in this particular game that he took back for a touchdown. Again, you're going to hear the Tim Tebow chants. I mean, it's ridiculous, but, every Denver loss, every time Orton doesn't play well, Tebow, you're going to hear him. Fox has given no indication, John Fox, that is, has given no indication that he will turn to Tebow. So we'll see how that plays out. Green Bay, again, proves a 4-0 on the season. Hey, they have a game against, they'll play Atlanta next week on Sunday Night Football. Denver falls to 1-3. When we return, the Bills fall in a trap, and the Patriots bounce back. We'll talk about that and so much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. Welcome back to this latest edition of the NFL Show. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Cyril Quinn taking you up until 8 o'clock as we look back at week 4 of the NFL season. Top of the 7th inning, Texas is up 2-1 on Tampa. A Mike Napoli 2-run home run put Texas ahead. Price had been pitching great. He's out of the game now. 2 outs, top of the 7th. Texas up 2-1. Obviously, a big game as this series is even at one game apiece. Of course, later on tonight, in roughly about a little over an hour or so, you'll have Yankees and Tigers at Comerica Ball. Comerica in Detroit. Verlander and Sabathia tried to finish what they started in game one. Of course, when they were rained out, basically, and the game had to be suspended. So, again, another big game three in that series. Detroit tied it last night at Yankee Stadium, 5-3. Miguel Cabrera with a big night out of him. Buffalo falls to Cincinnati 23-20. Cincinnati evens his record at 2-2. Buffalo falls to 3-1. I thought about picking this game, but I thought that Cincinnati was just bad. This was the definition of a trap game. I mean, Buffalo lost their emotional victory against New England, divisional rival, to come back the old 9 yards, going on the road, weather, windy. Buffalo couldn't get any offense going. Cincinnati, kicked Buffalo all over the place from the line of scrimmage. I mean, they outgained Buffalo 458-273. Despite that, Buffalo did have a 17-3 halftime lead, which was a recurring theme on the day as far as big leads being blown throughout the course of the league. Ryan Fitzpatrick probably had his worst game of the season, had no turnovers, but no interceptions, but no touchdowns, 20-34, 199. Mike Nugent kicks a 43-yard game with a field goal. Big day. Difference in the game was the Cincinnati running game. Andy Dalton, not spectacular, 18-36, a touchdown, and 298. But still played relatively well. But Cedric Benson had 19 carries to 104 yards. And as a team, Cincinnati ran for 171 yards, 32 carries. So proof that you can run the football and be effective and win games. So a good job by Cincinnati. I did not see that. I didn't see that game coming. I thought Buffalo would. I might be a close game, but I thought Buffalo would find a way to win. Buffalo's schedule is about to get just ridiculously hard. So they might, you know, they won the series, you need to make the playoffs. That might be one that they look back on and say, hey, you know, we probably should have won that. But they fall 23-20 to the Cincinnati Bengals. New England bounces back with a 31-19 victory over the Oakland Raiders. New England pushes his record to 3-1 on the season. Oakland falls 2-2. This is despite the fact that Oakland had over 500 yards of total offense. This is what happened with this game. First of all, New England got smart. Enough of Tom Brady, a million passes and 500 yards and all his other nonsense. Brady goes 16-30, 226, two touchdowns, no picks. New England runs the ball 30 times for 180 yards. Stephon Ridley had a big game. Tank has 97 yards. How many? Brady, 30 passes. New England, 30 passes, 30 runs. As a team, New England runs for 183 yards. That was the difference in the game, along with the fact that Oakland somehow was tricked. I shouldn't even say somehow, but they basically got tricked by New England into thinking that they could throw the ball all over them. So, yes, Jason Campbell did have 344 yards passing, but he also had two interceptions. And the fact is that they, you know, Oakland neutralized their most valuable weapon, and that's Darren McFadden. How, against a New England defense that can't stop anybody, that Darren McFadden only gets 14 carries for 75 yards is just beyond me. By accident, Oakland had 160 yards rushing on 27 carries. So, I mean, again, it makes no sense to me. You're on a team. You're facing a bad defensive team. You throw the ball 39 times and run the ball 27 times. And a game that was relatively close. I mean, this game was, you know, 17-10, 10-7. New England pulled away late in the fourth quarter. After the third quarter, it was 4-13. So that's still with striking distance to where you could continue to run the football. So, again, no excuse for the Oakland Raiders to just abandon the running game and tell Jesse Campbell to go out there and win the game by himself. It's not going to happen. And again, it was fool's gold, the yardage that the Raiders were picking up through the air. The Raiders have been winning games based on their rushing attack, period. I mean, the Raiders have ran the ball better than anybody in the league up to this point. And again, it's not like they ran the ball and couldn't run it. They had 160 yards on 27 carries. So I just didn't get, you know, but that's the Raiders. I, you know, should not be surprised by the Raiders. They, again, fall for the trap. Good bounce back win. They improved to 3-1, heading into a showdown with the New York Jets next week. We'll return. We will talk about New Orleans and the Atlanta Falcons' lackluster win. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. 347-215-6180 is your call number. It's Cyril Quinn. We'll be right back. back to this latest edition of the NFL show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. New Orleans over Jacksonville 23-10. New Orleans go to 3-1 on the season. Jacksonville falls to 1-3. New Orleans basically won this game with a C effort, basically, as far as their C game, I should say. Didn't play particularly well. I know put up some big numbers as far as yardage, had over 500 yards of total offense. Really had a balanced attack as far as, you know, they ran the ball extremely well, 177 yards on the ground as a team. Breeze, 350 yards passing, two interceptions, had a touchdown. The tight end had a big day, Graham, 10 catches, 132. Again, this was a game where the Saints did not run away from, but for some reason, Jacksonville with Marv Jones-Drew, who is a legitimately 6 or 7 back in the league, and he runs the ball 11 times for 84 yards, and you throw the ball with your rookie quarterback 42 times. I don't get it. Gabe Galbert, 16 to 42, 196 yards, a touchdown, an interception. New Orleans outgained Jacksonville 105-03 to 274. You know, I just think that you have a rookie quarterback and a legitimate Pro Bowl caliber running back that you, unless you're down, you know, a million points, 20 to nothing, that you would want to take the pressure off him and run the football. But maybe that's just me. I don't get it. When I saw this, I was like, geez, threw the ball 42 times and ran the ball how many times? Ran the ball 17 times, threw the ball 42 times. This was a game that New Orleans, you know, could have, probably should have won by, you know, should have been, you know, 35, it should have been 38-10, but they never ran away. I mean, Breeze had a couple of interceptions. Jacksonville was able to keep it close within striking distance, but yet they kept throwing the ball over and over and over again and really made themselves no real threat to win the game just based on that. I mean, Jones-Drew, again, had 84 yards on just 11 carries. By my math, that's almost 8 yards a carry. So, you know, that's why they're Jacksonville, and that's why they're 3. New Orleans improves to 3-1 on the season. Atlanta over Seattle, survived Seattle 30-28. They ain't even their record at 2-2. Seattle falls to 3-1. Atlanta almost found a way to cough this game up. They were at one point, we're up 27-7. 27-7. Seattle had a big second half. Tavares Jackson had a tremendous game, going 25-38, 319, 3 touchdowns. Didn't have 2 interceptions, but got them back into the game. Matt Ryan played very well, 28-42, 291, a touchdown. Michael Turner had a couple of touchdowns. Late in the game, Seattle was having, they had the ball at the Atlanta 43, 4th and 8, 1 timeout left. And for some reason, it's probably under a minute left. I would say under a minute, somewhere under a minute. I mean, they still had time to eventually get off a field and put themselves in field goal range. But for some reason, they attempt a 61-yard field goal. Now, keep in mind, people, there have only been 3 60-yard field goals made in the history of the NFL. Okay. You had Janikowski. You had the kicker from New Orleans back in the day, Dempsey. And the Jason Elam, and 2 of them again were made in Denver. Elam and Janikowski. I mean, a 61-yard field goal outdoor, it made no sense. I'm like, come on, Pete Carroll, come on. You just knew it, man. 4th and 8, you got a quarterback that's throwing the ball well. I mean, go for it. Not gonna get criticized for passing up on a 61-yard field goal. I know the kicker's supposed to have a big leg, but really, 61 yards? Come on. You first down on that play. I mean, 61 becomes 51. Maybe 61 becomes 45. I don't know. It was worth the risk. And you have a timeout. So the clock is not going to run out on you. You can use the whole entire field. You can throw the ball in the end zone if you want. So, again, I didn't get that at all whatsoever. Much needed win for Atlanta. For the Falcons, I have not been impressed by the Falcons in the least bit. I mean, the Falcons, you know, this game should have been you know, 45-10. And they allow Seattle to hang in. They almost lost this game. I mean, Seattle's driving for a potential game-winning field goal. You know, with Tavares Jackson, that quarterback. That should tell you that. That tells you something. I should have, and it's my fault, I should have included the Atlanta Falcons on that list of 2-2 teams who are in trouble. So that's my mistake. That is the poll question of the night. Which 2-2 team is in the most trouble? Steelers, Cowboys, and Jets. Well, you can include Atlanta in that mix as well. They have not played well. There are people, Peter King, who actually picked Atlanta to the Super Bowl. So Atlanta survives, goes to 2-2, and has to, and certainly will have the acid test next week as they will take on the world champion Green Bay Packers. 347-215-6180 is your call number, Cyril Quinn. When we return, we will talk about another lackluster performance from the Superchargers, and a first for this AFC West team. We'll talk about that and so much more on this latest edition of the NFL show. We'll be right back. After the 7 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the NFL show, Cyril Quinn. San Diego improves to 3-1 on the season, 26-16 over Miami, who is 0-4. Again, the Tony Sperano watch is on. It's going to be a bye week for Miami. I would not be surprised if he's fired before this week is out, to be honest with you. I mean, the Miami's going nowhere fast. To add injury to insult to injury to insult, insult to injury, they lose their quarterback, Chad Henne yesterday with a shoulder injury. Another ho-hum performance, so to speak, from San Diego, a game that should not have been that close at home. San Diego, again, finds a way to keep these teams in the game. Their offense, there's something not right with San Diego's offense. I mean, Phillip Rivers, the numbers look good, 21-31. A touchdown, 307 yards passing. Rivers has more touchdowns and interceptions than touchdowns, by the way. Vince Jackson, for some reason, you know, has three catches, 108 yards receiving, but he only gets targeted four times. I don't understand that. They missed Gates. Yes, they do miss Gates, but again, Gates wasn't healthy throughout the, you know, Gates missed some time last year, and Rivers was still able to put up big-time numbers with no Vince Jackson, basically, and with basically every receiver, starting receiver they've known to man, hurt on that particular San Diego team, on San Diego's team last year. So I don't get what's going on with San Diego's offense. They actually are running the ball better this year than they ever ran it last year. Ryan Matthews had a decent game, 16 carries, 81 yards. Matt Moore's a non-factor for Miami, 17-26, 167. And an interception again. Don't be surprised if Miami has a new coach come following the next time they play in a couple of weeks. Kansas City gets by Minnesota 22-17. Minnesota falls to 0-4. Kansas City improves to 1-3. Matt Castle, decent day, 18-29, 260 touchdown. Dwayne Bowe had a big day, 5 catches for 107 yards. It's gonna come to a point. When are we going to see Christian Ponder? I think that's a question in Minnesota. I'm not saying McNabb was terrible, but, you know, at some point, it's like, what's the point of keep playing McNabb? You're out there losing games anyway. You want to see what Christian Ponder has. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Ponder in the next couple of weeks, though. Leslie Frazier swears by McNabb that McNabb is going to be his quarterback. We'll see how long that lasts. But again, Minnesota is falling to 0-4 on the season. Tennessee versus Cleveland 31-13. Tennessee a quiet 3-1 on the season. Cleveland falls to 2-2. Matt Hasselbeck 10-22 for 223 touchdowns and an interception. Chris Johnson, welcome to the 2011 season. Goes for 23 for 101 yards rushing. His first time over the century mark this season. Colt McCoy, this is mind-boggling to me. 40-61, 350 yards, a touchdown and an interception. You have Peyton Hillis on your team, and Colt McCoy throws the ball 61 times. Peyton Hillis had 10 carries for 46 yards. Listen, it's not like Cleveland didn't have the ball. Cleveland ran 87 plays, and they had the ball for 36 minutes. So, again, 61 pass plays is just, it's like, come on. Really, 61 pass plays with Colt McCoy. I'll talk about this before the show was out, but this love affair with the pass is ongoing. But Tennessee improves to 3-1, tied with Houston in AFC South. Cleveland falls to 2-2. When we return, we will go inside the NFC East on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 7 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the NFL Show. Bottom of the seventh, Texas leads 4-1 over Tampa, but Tampa has two men on, and thought it was going to be a double, but ball just went foul. Darren Oliver is pitching for Texas. One out, 0-2 count. Tampa trying to get back in the game. I believe Corey Koshman is at the plate right now as Tampa, again, trying to get back in this game after Texas took the lead. 4-1. So I'll keep you posted on that game three of the ALDS. The Redskins improved to 3-1 on the season with a 17-10 victory over the St. Louis Cardinals. St. Louis has just got awful. They fall to 0-4 in a game that should not have been that hard for the Redskins. That they almost coughed up a 17-zip lead in the third quarter, but they hang on to win 17-10. Ryan Terrain, a coming out party for 2011 for him. 19 carries, 135 yards, a touchdown. The Redskins defense has 7 sacks. You feel terrible, Sam Bradford, because that team, just the receivers dropped a million passes. Their defense is awful. And Bradford is just got pounded with Arakpo and Ryan Kerrigan. Steven Jackson was very quiet, 17 carries, 45 yards. Did have a touchdown on a 15-yard touchdown reception, but Redskins going to the bye week at 3-1. St. Louis 0-4. Two teams certainly headed in opposite directions. The New York Giants survived the Arizona Cardinals 31-27 down in the desert. Giants improved to 3-1, tied with the Redskins for first place in the AFC East. Arizona falls to 1-3. Before we get to any other stats, certainly the play that's being talked about, throughout the course last night and certainly into this morning, the Victor Cruz fumble, that's going to be called a fumble. Arizona's up 27-24. Giants are driving. Cruz just caught a 90-yard pass play that got him to Arizona's 29-yard line. Roughly inside 3 minutes to play, Cruz falls down, basically goes down head first, so to speak, and fumbles the ball. He fumbles the ball. Arizona puts the ball on the ground. Arizona gets it. But the play is called dead, is whistled dead, because the referee interpreted him as giving himself up. And when a player gives himself up, then there can't be no fumble, and I hit a play. Well, my problem with the play, the reason why it's a bad call is players give themselves up by sliding feet first, by going head first, feet first. Cruz, you know, whatever, lost his balance, tripped, fell forward. And I don't know how the official interpreted that as him giving himself up. He put the ball on the ground. Arizona recovered, got the ball. Had it been Arizona's ball, chances are that game would have been over because Giants at that point had no timeouts inside 3 minutes. They basically could have ran the clock out, punted the ball. Giants get it back with 20, 25 seconds. Not unlikely that the Giants could go drive for a game time field goal, but, you know, more than likely it wasn't going to happen. A play later, Eli Manning tossed 29-yard touchdown pass to Hakeem Nicks, who had a big day with 10 catches, 162 yards. Manning played well, 27-40, 321, two touchdowns. Crushing loss for Arizona. They've lost two close games now to NFC East teams and the Redskins and the Giants. So, you know, they're off to a rough start of their season at 1-3. Dee Wells had a big day, 27-4, 138. Philadelphia falls again 24-23 to the San Francisco 49ers. Philadelphia falls to 1-3 in the season. San Francisco improves to 3-1. Again, another big lead in the second half. Philadelphia at home up 23-3. They're up 23-3. Give San Francisco credit because they stuck with the run. Gore had a big game. Alex Smith played extremely well. But again, Philadelphia with the mental mistakes. Ronnie Brown, 31, and this is early in the game. This is before, you know, Philadelphia fell off the cliff with the lead. Early in the game, Philadelphia has a 3rd-and-1 at San Francisco 1 yard line. They give it to Ronnie Brown. He gets tackled, and for some reason, he just throws the ball. For whatever reason, I have no idea what he was thinking about. Was it a reaction? I don't know. I don't know what happened. You know, did he, you know, get scared of the ball all of a sudden? For whatever reason, he throws the ball away and costs Philadelphia 3 points. Philadelphia fumbles the ball with driving down late in the game after San Francisco had taken a lead for a potential game-winning field goal. Jeremy Maclin gets stripped on a great play by Justin Smith, who hustled back to strip Maclin from behind. But if you're Maclin, you got to have better ball security than that. I mean, Philadelphia just does not do the little things. And again, they look great on paper. Philadelphia has 513 yards of total offense. Vic comes back from a finger injury to come and has a play as well, 30-46, 416, two touchdowns and an interception. Philadelphia again ignores the running game. You know, up 23-3. LeSean McCoy only had 9 rushes for 18 yards. I don't know. They refuse to use LeSean McCoy in short yardage situations for whatever reason. And you know, they find themselves now 1-3 in a division where the Redskins and Giants are both 3-1. I mean, Philadelphia just does not know how to finish games. They have been outscored in the fourth quarter of the last three games, 36-0. 36-0 in the fourth quarter of the last three games. It's mind-boggling how this team does not know how to finish games. But I'll tell you what, Andy Reid better figure it out soon, very soon. Or this, it'll give me one of those seasons that can just go down the tank very quickly. Remember, Eagles still have to play the entire NFC East. They have Buffalo next week. So, you know, that schedule is not going to get any easier. They, you know, it's, I've watched the Eagles for a long time, grew up in the area. I've seen them rally from slow starts before, but not with this many, but not with the expectations being that they are. As Tampa Bay has just scored, cut the lead in half to 4-2 with 2 outs, bottom of the 7th inning. Texas still leads 4-2. But they, I mean, you know, the Eagles, they have so many issues. And the issues are not so much, I mean, other than the short yardage thing at the offense, which has become just an enigma for the past 3 years. They just can't get one. They can't get 1 yard for some reason. But defensively is where they're getting burnt. I mean, you allow Alex Smith to go for 291 and two touchdowns. I mean, that makes no sense. I mean, defensively, they have not been good. I know Babbin's played well. Trent Cole has had some moments. That secondary is a lot left to be desired. I mean, secondary looks bad right now. Linebackers are not any good. The safeties, even Nnamdi hasn't played well. So a lot of issues to fix for the 1-3 Dream Team Eagles. See if Andy Reid can fix it next week against Buffalo. Still to come on this latest edition of the NFL Show, a Sunday night nightmare for the Jets. And I'll tell you what I thought about week number 4. We'll be right back. Nine minutes after the 7 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the NFL Show, Cyril Quinn. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. Baltimore jumps all over the Jets, 34-17. Baltimore improves to 3-1 on the season. Jets fall to 2-2. A strange game, to say the least. Five defensive touchdowns and five defensive and special teams touchdowns. The Ravens scored 3 defensive touchdowns. Jets had a return and also a defensive touchdown by David Harris. But this was all about the Baltimore defense and how inept the Jets' offensive line was. Baltimore hosted Jets 150 yards total, 38 yards rushing. Sanchez was just you felt bad for him. I mean, that hit by Haloi Ngata, almost, you know, seemed like almost crushed it in half. That set up that hit that was called a fumble that was returned for a touchdown. Should have been a penalty because, you know, Ngata did hit a defensive player with a helmet, put his helmet right in Sanchez's back. I'm sure Sanchez is just feeling that as we speak. Sanchez 11 for 35, 119 yards, a touchdown, no interception, no touchdowns, one interception. Flacco wasn't any better. I mean, Flacco, this was not a game for quarterbacks. Flacco was 10 for 31, 163 yards, an interception, no touchdowns. And here's where Baltimore got smart, as in comparison to a lot of other teams that had big leads in the game. Baltimore is leading at the half. Okay, they got a nice size lead to have. I think they had about 10-point lead at halftime. So they decide, I think Baltimore had like 17-point lead at the half. So it's like, you know what? We're just going to run the ball. Baltimore, after only 11 runs in the first half, they ran the ball in the second half 29 times. Now, for the game, Baltimore had 40 carries, 112 yards. Now, you do the math. That's only about 2.8 yards a carry. But you know what? It didn't matter because they burnt the clock out, they shortened the game, and they, in essence, put the Jets away with that. The Jets weren't going to get enough possessions to come back. And the Jets, and they knew, if you're Baltimore, they knew the Jets couldn't score on them. So why even throw the ball? Why even risk another pick six by, you know, Darrelle Revis or somebody like that? That was the only way the Jets had a chance in that game, was through special teams and defense. And it just so happens that Baltimore's defense was just that much better. So Baltimore puts the game away by just running football, icing the milk of the clock, and going home with a 34-17 win. And that was a major problem, last this past week. You had four weeks, the quarter pole in the NFL season, you had 15 teams come back from double-digit deficits to win games. You had four yesterday with Detroit, Cincinnati, San Francisco, and the Giants. You almost had one with Atlanta, with Seattle against Atlanta. And the reason why teams are having so much trouble keeping leads is they are falling in love with the pass. And, yes, the pass will get you a 14- to 20-point lead, but the pass, you don't put a team away with the pass. You don't milk clock with the passing game. You know, when you pass the game, number one, you're not taking time off the clock. Number two, you can be a Tony Romo and have a pick six. Throw a couple pick sixes, which will get, you know, there's nothing more that will get a team back into the game than a defensive touchdown. There's nothing more demoralizing for a team's defense when they watch another team's defense score a touchdown and get points counted against them when they had absolutely no control over it. That is, I mean, you know, if you're Ray Lewis and you're watching David Harris run down the sideline, run the ball in for a touchdown to cut that lead to 10, you got to be pulling your head out last night saying, "What? They scored on them, not us." And that just kills the morale of a team. And I don't get these teams. There's so many. Listen, for every Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, there are about 8 to 9 quarterbacks who are just not that good. There are only about a half of elite quarterbacks in the NFL. The rest of them are pretty good. Most of them are just middle of the pack. With that saying, you don't allow middle of the pack guys to try to win you games or put the game away by throwing the ball every single down. Again, the idea that the Dallas Cowboys, with a 24-point lead, could throw the ball 47 times and run the ball only 27 times at home is just mind-boggling. If they ran the ball, if they ran the ball, I would say 10 more times, that game is over with. It's done. There's no way Detroit would have even had enough possessions to come back from. They didn't have enough time, and Detroit's offense wasn't playing that well anyway at that point in the game. Detroit's offense was sparked by the two pick sixes. So, I think teams are falling in love with this passing game too much, and we talked about it endlessly. And what it does now, it creates for excitement because there's already a lot of parity in the NFL right now. It evens the playing field that much more. It really does because it lessens the chances that certain teams have to win. It brings teams down close to the pack. So it'll be very interesting to see how that changes over the course of the season as the weather changes and it gets colder, gets some cold with some rain, things of that nature, and especially in October into November, we'll see the teams that make the adjustments. You saw New England yesterday say, you know what, we're running the football. That's all there is to it. Going to run the football. Brady, you'll break Reno's record, soon enough, but not today. In the football. We'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll talk about week number 5. after 1 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the NFL show, 347-215-6180. The poll question of the night was, which 2-2 team was in the most trouble? Probably had to say between the Steelers, Cowboys, Jets, and also I just add the fans. Probably had to say the Steelers tie between the Steelers and Jets. I say that because the AFC, you know, the AFC, you have New England and some, you know, New England and Baltimore teams like that. Steelers, Steelers, you know, their offense looks dead as a doorknob. Roethlisberger is hurt. How long he'll be out, who knows? They can't run the ball. They can't block anybody. Defense is taking a step back. Jets can't run the ball. Offensive line is banged up. Their defense hasn't taken a step back, but it's not. Yeah, their defense has taken a step back also, based on the fact, you know, based on what we saw last week when, you know, against the Raiders. So, you know, I'll probably have to say even towards more to the Jets, because the Steelers' schedule is more favorable than the Jets is. So I think the Jets are in a lot of trouble. I really do. They have some major issues. They cannot run the ball whatsoever. They can't. We're going to have the next week, a couple of big matchups. The Jets, New England hosts the Jets next week. Philadelphia, Buffalo should be an interesting game. You have Chicago hosting, you have Chicago traveling to Detroit. Detroit starts trying to stay perfect. Tennessee and Pittsburgh. Tennessee catching Pittsburgh at a good time. And what should be one of the most entertaining games of the week. I'm sure this game has probably 41-31 written all over it, is New Orleans and Carolina. New Orleans, Carolina could be able to, Cam Newton can certainly make plays against that New Orleans defense. And we know how bad the Carolina defense is. So that should be certainly a high scoring affair. Cleveland, Dallas, Washington, Baltimore, St. Louis, and Miami all have bye weeks. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the NFL show. Remember to stay tuned for the Saturday morning wake-up call come this Saturday at 11 a.m. And we'll also have the Redskins post-game report come next. No Redskins report, because it's a bye week. We'll just do the NFL wrap-up next Sunday. So we'll do that. So long, and have a great evening.